Welcome to the Toddcast. I'm John. I'm with
TJ.
And Bo will be here eventually.
Eventually.
couple of things coming up. Thanks for everybody who came out to the VFW sale. It was very successful. Lots of people got to dig a lot of books. This weekend, we will be at a show in Cleveland. Todd will be up there, and then I will be at Morgantown, West Virginia with Bo for West Virginia PopCon. I made his day yesterday by letting him know that Stan from the writer for Rejected will be there. So he's pretty pumped to meet Stan. Stan's a friend of mine. He's a good guy. Check out his work. He writes a lot of good stuff. Other than that, we have coming up the legendary basement sale. Over 500,000 books in the basement of Elwood, dollar a piece, alphabetized by title. Good times. Then we have a $3 Silver Age premiere coming up in Elwood the weekend after that. Then the first weekend of October, if you're not going to be at New York Comic Con, you should go to the waterfront for the grand reopening sale. Should be a lot of fun. Oh, also we have the Magic pre-release for Thrones of Eldraine on the last weekend of September as well. Have a lot of fun with that. I know a lot of the stores are doing anywhere from 2 pre-release events to 6 pre-release events. So go check it out. There's something for everybody. It's a lot of fun if you haven't played in a long time. All right. Time to talk about the comics. So, do you want me to start with these, and then you can talk about yours, since yours are all 3-1 book? Or what do you want to do?
Go ahead.
All right. So, I'm going to talk about Knights Temporal 2. I'll make mine kind of quick, because they were pretty easy. So, the first issue I really liked, and Bo didn't. But the second issue kind of fleshed out the story a little bit, where it's kind of a little more crazier than people think. So the knight is like really weirded out by the guy who said, "Hey, I know you from somewhere, but you can't be that guy." So they go to a college library, and he gets this girl that's on a computer to search for people that have similar names to his, and they find a Wild West guy, and she's like, "Man, was he your ancestor? What? Because he looked just like him."
Okay.
So you find out that the sword is what's connecting them, and you can summon the sword in your timeline wherever you're at, and the Wild West one guy was like a total douchebag, and he just was like killing a lot of people for sport. And so, because like the college girl's like, "He was kind of a jerk," and he's like, "What do you mean?" It tells him all about stuff. So the witch and him apparently are hopping through time, but I don't know yet if they are in all of those places simultaneously, or if they are in the present now first, and then they're going to go back, and then they're going to do things, or if it each time when they grab the sword to do the time thing, if it split them into multiple time zones or times at the same time.
Okay.
So it's still kind of a mystery, but still like it made it a little more appealing to me, like even more so than it did before.
But you're hooked, right?
I am now hooked. I really need to read the rest of this to find out what the hell is going on.
That's good. That's really all we ever ask for in comic books. It's a good story that hooks you.
And Colin Bunn is like 50-50 for me, because sometimes I'm like, "Man, this is awesome." And other times I'm like, "What did I read? Like, why did I read that?"
Yeah, he is hit or miss. I've read some snoozers by him.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one, though. So my next book, Batman Superman number 1, by Williamson and Marquez. So this actually was a lot better than I thought it was going to be, because I'm not a big fan of the whole Dark Universe thing right now. I read Metal when it came out. I thought it was cool, but then I thought they just kind of it turned very gimmicky very fast towards the end there.
Yeah, dude, I didn't like Metal when it came out, and like it just keeps more and more of it just keeps leaking into the main books and everything, and I've not really read anything that I cared for from it.
Fair. So this in this one, like, Superman flies up to the Watchtower because Batman calls him up there. And when he gets there, he sees the entire Justice League just everywhere, mutilated. Like Red Tornado's like head is just sitting there on the ground. Somebody's ribcage is over there. Plastic Man was used to string up the Flash and choke him. Wonder Woman's laying on the ground. Martian. And all of a sudden, Superman starts like spitting up green kryptonite out of his throat. And you find out Batman put it in the air because it's actually the Batman who laughs, who called him up there. Right? See. So, then you see, like, this other universe where we are, and Batman's there. He calls Superman over. Superman makes some kind of you should quit smoking thing to Jim Gordon. Batman's like, you need to come and look at this thing with me.
Did Superman x-ray Jim Gordon's lungs? Is that why he said that?
Yeah, I think so. So they go to this other Batcave, or they go to this Batcave, and so they find like this giant, like almost hologram of the Justice League, and someone has drawn like Joker lipstick on them with X's over all their eyes. And you find out that the there's a Joker or there's a not a Joker Robin, a Dark Robin, I guess, right? A Robin who laughs that's there, dressed as Robin, but it's not actually a Robin, it's Billy Batson. Uh-oh. So here is the first appearance of the Shazam who laughs.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And he's got the Batman Superman batarang. And he's about to jam it into Superman as he turns into the Shazam who laughs. So it actually turned out pretty cool. Like, the twist at the end was actually pretty good.
So I guess this whole thing is a story, an ongoing story, where they're running with different characters in the DC Universe that have been infected.
Yeah.
And they turn into, like, the dark version of them. And I'm pretty sure I saw, like, a spoiler online who all has been changed and all that stuff. It was like, what, a list of 10 big ones?
Yeah.
So
I thought it was cool. Like, I dug it. I'm not a big Batman guy anymore. Like, you really have to write a good Batman story for me to like it. Like, I like Curse of the White Knight. I like a couple other things, but I'm not reading Batman main title.
No.
I'm not reading Superman main title.
Yeah.
And I didn't really enjoy the Batman Superman books back in the day. I liked a little bit of the first volume, I guess, or the first modern volume, the first non-Silver Age volume.
That reminded me, the first modern volume reminded me a lot of, like, just watching Batman and Superman Adventures, like the cartoon.
Yeah.
It was very cartoony. I mean, McGinnis art helped with that, but I really liked that. This, I mean, what is this, the third modern iteration of this title? I think one of them had Wonder Woman slipped in there too.
Oh yeah, somewhere. Well, there was also a Batman versus Superman too. There's Batman, Superman, Superman, Batman, Trinity, Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, Wonder Woman.
So yeah, it's just I don't know. Is this a mini or is this going to be an ongoing?
I don't remember. I think it's an ongoing for right now.
I do. I will say this. I do like the cool connecting cover they have with the Batman that laughs in the middle of the two.
I thought that was cool.
Nice gimmick.
Yeah. It was kind of neat. Like I said, I kind of dug it. I don't know if I'm totally sunk, but it was really cool to see that Shazam who laughs. That was kind of cool. All right, my last book is kind of weird, but it was cool, but it wasn't cool for the, oh man, this is a really cool story or a really good read. It was cool because it was a momentous occasion. It's Marvel Comics 1000.
Or Cash Grab 1000.
Cash Grab 1000. I'm okay with that. Considering most of these stories are written by Al Ewing, but every single page is a different artist or a different creative team. Totally.
Yeah, quit that yawn.
I know, man. It sucks. I'm like, I'm about ready to go grab a drink. It's kind of neat because the whole thing ties all the way back to the first robot Human Torch and the three X's and the mask that basically turns into the mystery Dark Rider mask, I believe is what it was. But it's kind of cool because it goes year by year and it tells you stuff like 1943, Miss America debuted in Marvel Mystery Comics number 49, and it's all about America Chavez because she is the modern version of Miss America.
She's an alien.
Yeah.
From another planet.
Okay. Right. And my buddy Jeremy Whitley wrote that. And then, like, in 1944, Captain America movie serial starts hitting the big screen. And, like, it's some of these are cool because they're really neat milestone things. And some of them are just cool because it's, like it happened in something related to Marvel. This Doctor Strange one was pretty cool. The 1951 Strange Tales appears. And it's Doctor Strange, like, his clothes need washed. So Joe Hill wrote it, Mike Allred and Laura Allred worked on it, and Doctor Strange ends up sitting there in his birthday suit reading a Wizard Fitness magazine with Stan Lee on the front in a laundromat all naked. It's pretty funny. There were some other really fun ones too, like Brand Eck was in there. The Black Knight shows up. This one was cool. The Tales to Astonish premiere. It's an Alex Ross page.
The Hulk, that's nice.
With the Hulk, and it's like, Mr. Hulk, why do you do what you do? And he kind of like looks at the reporter weird. He's like, what was your worst experience? And he just kind of looks the other way, and he's like, what do you wish people knew about you? And he kind of sniffs the mic, and then he just bites the mic, and the reporter's just like, okay then.
The Hulk doesn't utter a single word, but says so much.
Yep, exactly. And there's cool milestones, like it shows like Groot, Iron Man, Galactus, Black Panther, all kinds of cool stuff. Captain Marvel, Blade, the Wolverine one's kind of neat because Roy Thomas wrote it, which is also cool. But it's basically like they're interviewing Wolverine to see what he's like and like why he has his outfit. And they're like, all right, man, it's your turn. They open the curtain, and he pops out into the panel that he appears.
Oh, yeah, with the Wendigo.
Yeah, right? That was kind of cool. The Jerry Conway, Greg Land one was kind of cool because that was all about Gwen Stacy. It's Gwen Stacy's death. There was a Punisher one. It hit a lot of stuff. It even hit Star Wars, which was cool. Like, you know. That was kind of neat.
Now, I saw a rumor that Batman actually appears in this book
somewhere. He does. I'm looking for it. This was cool. This was the Ron Frenz one. It was Tom DeFalco, Ron Frenz, Brett Breeding, and they did a Thor piece. And it was Odin gives his life to end the Surtur saga in Thor 353 in 1985. So apparently that was the biggest key thing that happened in 1985. So, okay. You know, some of these were, like, a little stretchy, like, oh, I had to find something to work for that year. But it was kind of cool. Like, 1986, Howard the Duck movie happened. The Damage Control one was pretty good, too. Because that kind of tied in with, like, the first Spider-Man MCU movie. The Cable one was pretty funny. Let's see. Oh, there's the Donny Cates 94 Spider-Man with the Clone Saga. Hickman did the Four Horsemen where it was Age of Apocalypse. This was kind of neat. And that was Pat Gleason, where basically it was just the Pledge of Allegiance, but had Captain Marvel or Captain America there. Oh, here it is. There he is. Boom.
Yeah.
So, it's Turkey Soup for the Deadpool Soul by Gail Simone and David Balian. So
it's definitely Batman.
Deadpool's like breaking the fourth wall. Like there's like this is pretty funny. He's pooping, and then there's like Psylocke, Rogue, and Domino are all in like just bikinis for some reason at all in his house watching him poop. And then there's Galactus Deadpool getting some food. Then he steals the Bat Boat, and Batman's like, "Hey!" And he's hanging out having a luau with Cable. And then he's just by himself, walking into the sunset. It was kind of cool. I thought Gail Simone really nailed him on the head. This was kind of cool. It was Quesada and Jimmy Palmiotti doing a Daredevil panel, which they haven't done in a long time. Chris Claremont did one. Peter David is in his own panel. Sorry, he's not in his own panel, but it definitely sounds Peter David because it's all about Rick Jones. It's old man Rick Jones. Jessica Jones is in there. That's X-23. Oh man, this is Young Avengers. Like the Young Avengers makes their first appearance 2005. Jessica Jones and Luke Cage get married in 2006. The Iron Man movie is released 2008. There's a Hulk family one, which was cool, and that's when it was World War Hulk.
And there's Scar.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people, like everyone who was a Hulk is in there or has to do with Hulk, and it's like old man Logan looking, which is really funny. Blue Marvel returns. This is like why Mary Jane Watson didn't marry Peter Parker is revealed in Amazing Spider-Man 638, which
Campbell.
Is
Campbell art.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, and that's in 2010. Story and art by J. Scott Campbell of that one, and it's kind of cool. There's so much cool stuff, and I didn't know some of the things that they brought up, like. Or I was like, oh yeah, I remember that happening. Like in 2011, Miles Morales is introduced in Amazing or Ultimate Fallout 4. Right. I remember when that book came out. I forgot it was 2011 though. Yeah. Then in 2012, they published Spider-Man 700, and that was like one of the saddest and most awesome books ever written, in my opinion.
That's where wasn't that where Doc Ock took over his.
Yeah, at the
his
end of
body
it.
And yep. That started at Superior Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah. There's just some really cool stuff. They even talk about Battle World a little bit. The Deadpool movie is a milestone that they want to talk about. And 2018 is reported as the year the Silver Surfer became the Herald of Galactus again. 2019, the Marvel Universe celebrates 80 years of publishing history. And then the whole thing is kind of neat, though, because it all ties into the story for that mask.
And that'll be the takeaway from that book, which they'll pick up somewhere else, probably, is the story with this mask.
Right, and they say in 2020, the face of the mask will finally be revealed.
Right.
Which is kind of neat. So we'll see the Dark Raider, or the Black Raider, finally be revealed next year. So it was kind of neat to see all that history. Like, I was reading the little history chunks because they're in the corners of each one of those panels, and it's just kind of cool to be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Like, oh, man, I thought that was a lot earlier than that or later than that. So
in your opinion, worth the $10 cover price for that?
I think if you're a Marvel fan in general, I probably wouldn't pay up for a variant, but to own it just to have that piece of Marvel history to kind of have like a cool little timeline, I thought it was cool.
Right. There's a ton of different covers for that. I mean, there's,
you know, I actually bought two. I bought the regular cover and I bought the Jen Bertel cover because I loved her Storm cover. That was really great.
There's the, you know, you'll have the diehard collector that has to seek out every cover for that.
Yeah.
God help that person.
But do I think that you need more than one of them? No.
No. I ended up getting the, what was it? I guess it'd be the 70s cover. It had Howard the Duck and had all the monsters on it and Blade and like Werewolf by Night and all that stuff. And it was really sweet looking. So I wish I'd make a poster of that. I see like the cover you have that has just like.
Oh, yeah. This is crazy.
Giant just mashup of everything Marv 1 there. It's like, it's.
Right.
You could spend hours looking at that. And
I mean, I own some of these books because these are all covers. Because, like, I own that Hawkeye book with Kate Hawkeye on it.
Yep.
I own that Greg Land Emma Frost cover from Uncanny X-Men.
I believe they made this into a poster.
There's 181. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, yeah, there's Demon in a Bottle.
Drunk-ass Iron Man.
Yep. There's Excalibur 1.
Yeah, I mean, you could spend hours looking at that cover and just be like, I have that. And it's cool that they chose to make a poster out of that.
There's Spidey 300, or not 300, Spidey...
The annual.
The annual 11, I think. 7, 11, one of the two.
The big wedding.
Yeah, the wedding issue. I have this this Moon Knight issue. Like, there's the newer Domino cover. I have that. But there's stuff all from all over the years in here, and it's real cool.
It is a cool cover. So,
yeah, I really enjoy this cover a lot. Yep, Drunk Iron Man. I love Drunk Iron Man. He's such a dick.
Love all it. All right, I'm going to do my review here.
All right, I'm going to go grab a drink while you start.
All right. I'm doing Amazing Spider-Man. I'm going to do... It's going to be 26 through 28. It's all one story. I wish I was drunk while I was reading this. Yeah, this story is something else. Basically, what you have is a bunch of gender-bent class versions of classic Spider-Man villains like the Beetle, Electro, Dr. Octopus, and Scorpion. They form a little all-girls club, and basically what brings them together is they hate Boomerang. Now, if you're reading Nick Spencer's... Hey, Bo. Hey, Bo. How's it going?
How are we doing?
Join us. I'm just sitting here getting ready to roast Amazing Spider-Man.
It deserves it.
Yeah, I thought so, too. So here we go. Back into this. If you're reading Spencer's run on Amazing Spider-Man, you'll know that Boomerang, the throwaway Spider-Man villain, is kind of a big character in this. He's one of Pete's roommates. And he's reformed. He's a reformed baddie. And he's not bad. And I'll get back into him later. But basically, this all-girl squad of Spider-Man villains... I don't like calling them that. They're just gender-bent versions of Spider-Man villains. But anyway...
Villainesses?
They are... their whole thing is... they want to... preach to feminism and smash the patriarchy and all that whatever buzz term crap that people like to use on the news these days and in stupid articles, and that's bled into all of our entertainment, and I hate it. They're all trying to get a hold of Boomerang, and why? Well, the Beetle has a legit reason, because during one of the probably one of the Deadly Foe runs, Boomerang left her for dead on one of those missions, so that's cool. The rest of them, not so much. They're just mad at him because he was hitting on them in the bar with no name. Yeah. So, great story there, Nick Spencer. So, they're all after him. They finally get a hold of him, like, three books later, and the jokes and stuff, there's a few of them that are funny here and there, but it's... I don't know. I threw 27 across the room as I was reading it. That's how pissed I was. I was just annoyed by this, the dialogue in the book. And then at the end, you get to see how they've fleshed out Boomerang as a character. He's not just some dude that chucks boomerangs around. He's pretty slick, really. He's funny, he's witty, and he's kind of a master manipulator. So he kind of schmoozes with these women and is like, well, yeah, you could do this, you could kill me, but then you'll never find this out, or you'll never be able to do this. And he like slips him a piece of paper and stuff, and next thing you know, they're letting him go because the Kingpin's coming to, you know, raid the house because he wants Boomerang too, which is part of an ongoing story arc throughout this series. Spider-Man doesn't really have a whole lot to do with this story. He's in it. You see him kind of witnessing what's going on, but he's just kind of there. At the end, the last issue, there is a big fight. You have Boomerang and Spider-Man teaming up, and they're fighting the women, and they're also fighting all these, like, super soldier, like, teched out dudes that Wilson Fisk brought in to raid their little hideout.
Anybody of note, or just random?
It's just dudes in a bunch of armor, like SWAT armor with guns and whatnot. Nobody really notable in there.
Okay.
What I did like about this, while I hated pretty much this whole story and it was filler trash, what I did like about this, though, was Boomerang really reminded me of Booster Gold. And then in the last issue, like, the interactions between him and Spider-Man as they're teaming up,
mm-hmm,
really reminded me of old, like, Blue and Gold, like Blue Beetle, Booster Gold stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it, like, worked. It was funny and it just worked well. So I really dig this character. Like, before, you know, Boomerang really just wasn't, he never got any play. It was a background dude that chucked a boomerang. There was no real character to him.
Right.
Now they've actually made him an interesting character that you would care about. So, kudos to Nick Spencer for doing that. But please keep your feminist crap out of my comics. I don't really care to read that stuff. Just tell the good stories, man. Stop beating me over the head with this shit.
I mean, I'm not opposed to feminism. I'm opposed to, like, writing a story for no apparent reason but to push an agenda.
If you read the so-called jokes in here, that's kind of what it is. Okay. They're all talking about,
like,
everybody's
is it,
a misogynist and everybody...
Okay. Yeah, I was like, I mean, is it well-written enough to not come across,
no,
like, not be blatant and do it more of in a subtle... lead your ideas to understand that kind of way versus just being like, house fell out of the sky.
No, if it wouldn't have been panel after panel of, you know, one panel's fine, but if it wouldn't have been like panel after panel of this person is misogynist because this happened, blah, 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 and I'm trying to kill Hawkeye and he's hitting on me, so he's horrible and this is a garbage person. Yeah, it just kept going for too long.
Okay.
If it would have been like two panels thrown in a book, cool. I get why you were trying to establish the team of female villains too. Like, they're,
right,
you know, trying to come together and work together as a team. But yeah, this was bad. I did like the jokes though, because the Beetle was also practicing law, and she's trying to make everything legit within their group of super villains, so she's making people fill out tax forms and things. That was kind of funny. You gotta fill out your W-2s and stuff if
That's
you're gonna be
hilarious.
In this group. So that was kind of funny. I like that. But everything else here was just not good. And it's sad because they just came off of a pretty decent Kraven story.
Mm.
And then they were going into something with that Kindred villain, Monk the Centipedes and stuff. And I thought that was gonna be what we were going to get here, but no, it's just like they stopped with that, threw all this filler at you, like, and where's this Kindred villain? I'm sure it'll come up later, but will I still be around reading the book later? I don't know.
Right. All right. Well, there you have some books that we talked about. All right, so now we're going to talk a little bit about the Marvel Disney Plus lineup. I'm trying to pull up the full list here so that I can remember it all. So here we go.
Yeah, She-Hulk, Moon Knight, Moon Girl, Devil Dinosaur.
Oh, I didn't see that. Is that gonna be an animated?
I'm not sure. They just announced that it's going to be a thing. Well, I'm sure it'll probably be some sort of computer-generated thing. What if...
All right, here we go. Day one, original shows. The Mandalorian. How excited are we for that? I'm pretty excited. The trailer was pretty good. I can't deny it. The trailer was pretty good.
Well, like...
not seeing the trailer.
I'm not...
And it's John Favreau. I really like him a lot.
I'm not, like, the biggest Star Wars fan, but I do like Boba Fett, and, you know, he wears the Mandalorian armor, so... I guess I'm interested enough to see what comes of this little show.
Yeah, I thought the trailer looked really good.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Forky asks a question. So this is Forky from Toy Story 4. I don't really care because I didn't see Toy Story 4, and I really don't like the character of Forky. So
I think that's Allison's favorite character from that, so she'll probably be tuning into that.
Shark Shorts, which is a Pixar animated studio short. Marvel's Hero Project, which is celebrates superheroes in the real world, which they did something like that with Stan Lee before.
I remember that.
I think it was on HBO or something back then. High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Pass.
Yeah. Encore, which is part high school reunion, part behind the scenes documentary of former students face old friendships and former flames. While doing musicals, and it's produced by Kristen Bell. I think it sounds hilarious, and I'll probably check it out because it sounds like stupid fun that I would do with my friends, but I don't think it's gonna be huge. The Imagineering story is Walt Disney stuff. World According to Jeff Goldblum. Kind of excited to see that, not gonna lie.
That'll be a hit.
Yeah, right. Lady and the Tramp as a live action.
Why? Why do we need that?
I don't know. But apparently we do. Let's see. Falcon and Winter Soldier. So, notice they didn't call it Captain America and Winter Soldier. I feel that while Falcon got the shield at the end of the show, or the movies, I think they're going to share the shield. And that's the whole point.
Maybe, but they also, did you see who's going to be in this is, like, the villain, U.S. agent, is going to be in this. Maybe he will be taking the place of Captain America.
Also, Zemo is supposed to be in it, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, that's good, might get our Thunderbolts going in there.
Oh, yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
I'm actually stoked for this and have been since they announced it. Basically, all I really want out of it is kind of like a buddy cop thing. Like, remember when in the Avengers movie, or no, I believe it was Cap 3, where they were hanging out in the car talking about Captain America and Agent 13 and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Dude,
just moments like that would be great. Like, I'm all for that.
Right, like all the in between stuff we never got to see from all the movies. That'd be hilarious.
The chemistry between those two actors is great, so I think it'll be good.
Fair. We got Marvel 616, which explores the Marvel story character and creators behind the real world. I think it's just supposed to be like one person at a time.
What are you doing? Just talking about spotlights on creators of comics?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Lamp Life, which is Bo Peep from Toy Story 4, gets a short. Monsters at Work is Monsters, Inc. guys. Star Wars Clone Wars, which will return with 12 new episodes.
This is awesome. If you watch the old stuff, you'll be very happy for this. This was actually, that series was better than
there's a all Frozen the 2 thing, Be Our Chef, Cinematic Relics. I'm going to skip some of these here. Phineas and Ferb movie? What? That's cool. Year 2 original shows, WandaVision. So, it's not Wanda and the Vision. It's WandaVision. So there's all kinds of speculation as to what this is actually going to be. Is it going to be what she wanted? Like, is it going to be her freaking out and creating a reality where he never died and they can live together and they have kids and all that stuff. Pretty much like the freak out that she had that created Hulkling and Wiccan in the comics.
Right.
Everything
I saw for it so far, like promo images and whatnot, has like a weird 50s TV vibe to it.
So, yeah, it reminded me of the Tom King Vision story, where it was like Vision as he created his wife and kids, and they kind of lived in like a like a Stepford Cuckoo style way.
Nice if they would, based off that. I enjoyed that series.
Yeah,
very
but
underrated.
But I mean, Wanda wasn't in it though. So
she was towards the end.
Like, oh, that's right.
She was in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like issues 6, 7, 8, something like that. But no, she wasn't in the beginning.
Right.
But yeah, she was in it for sure.
Loki is the other one from year two, which more Tom Hiddleston as Loki. Okay. I mean, I'm kind of over him. I kind
of... Well, like, what can they do with that?
I don't
know. Is it going to be, like, where he disappeared in Avengers and what he's doing? In, you know, what...
Yeah, basically.
I guess there'll be people that care about that.
Right. There's a What If.
And that's animated. They did show a couple stills from that. Like, the first thing they were doing was based on that What If... oh, what's her name? Peggy.
Was
like the Captain America.
No, it's Captain Britain.
Captain Britain, that's right.
Captain Britain. And there's another one where it's like, what if... I'm just reading it in here. It's what if Killmonger would have ended up being the Black Panther? Like, what if the parents would have switched?
I like animated things, whether they be shorts or like full-length movies or whatever. So I'm definitely interested at that, and I'm a huge What If fan. Those
not Marvel animated, though. I don't care for Marvel's animated stuff. They pale in comparison to anything DC puts out for that.
Well,
I didn't
definitely...
even like Spider-Man Into the whatever that
Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah,
I thought it was fun, but I didn't think it was...
I'm like, this is terrible.
I didn't like the look of the Kingpin at all, but...
Well, it kind of depends on what Marvel animated you're talking about. I mean, if you want to go... If you want to go back to 90s X-Men, that was awesome.
Yeah, but I always liked... I liked the Doctor Strange movie, the Thor versus Hulk. I thought those were
good. I liked those, but I thought they picked, like...
The next Avengers I thought was pretty good. I also... I never thought they were as good as the DC ones.
No, definitely not.
But... anyway, continuing on, we got Hawkeye. I'm...
Is it supposed to be...
Cautiously... It's him and Kate together.
Is this like a passing the torch sort of thing?
I think it's supposed to be in that 5 years where he's Ronin. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Probably lead into some Young Avengers stuff.
There's a Cassian Andor series coming out from Rogue One. Let's see. Year three stuff. Didn't even get to that.
So they have
far.
All these plans of things
so then, like,
way down the line, but 3 years, like anything can change.
Right. So in year three, that's where we're going to get like She-Hulk, Moon Knight. What's the other ones that they announced for that? Or did we cover them all? I think we're pretty close. I'm pretty excited for the She-Hulk and the Moon Knight. Those are the two that I'm the most excited for. Because I love She-Hulk.
I know they're going, they keep saying they're going to go, the She-Hulk thing is going to be different. I believe they're going to focus probably more on her, like, lawyering and stuff like that.
Excellent, that's what I want.
That might be all right.
If it's anywhere near the Charles Soule run, I'm down. but for Moon Knight, though, like, there's so much that they could do with that. Like, you know... It's almost like street, because it's like he's basically Batman, right?
Yeah.
You know, but he's way crazier.
Super crazy.
Yeah. So, which side do you play? Do you play the superhero side, or do you play the crazy side, or do you do a season of introducing him as a superhero, and then toward the end you see him really crack, and then the second season is him dealing with the fact that he's got multiple personalities? And then at what point do we get a season of just that Bendis miniseries of him thinking that he's also Hulk and Wolverine and Cap? And
it's like in his headspace and stuff. I don't know. And then the other thing you got to remember, though, this is Disney, and
how dark do they want to go with him, and how much are they going to get away with? Like, what kind of a Moon Knight do you want? Now, they are bringing that whole, like, monster universe thing out with, like, you know, Blade, and they're going to... Werewolf by Night's supposed to be getting something. I know they're doing some kind of weird supernatural thing.
Well, I think he's supposed to be in the Blade movie. This is a movie for Blade.
Yeah, Blade has the movie, but this is going to be, like, a TV show, or, like, probably something on Hulu or the Disney streaming thing, or or whatever. Yeah, so I don't know how dark they're going to make it. I think the darker the better, but it is Disney, so...
Yeah, me too. I really enjoy, like, super dark, crazy Moon Knight.
Dude, so. In my opinion, though, I've been a Moon Knight fan forever. Like, anything live-action Moon Knight is probably going to be alright.
True. I mean, they can't screw it up that much. But
no, I mean, like, the only other Moon Knight we got that wasn't in the comic books is, like, you know, he pops out in a video game every once in a while. Was he even in any of the cartoons?
I don't think he was in any of the cartoons. Yeah, oh no, he was.
Wasn't he in an episode of Spider-Man?
Yeah. He was in an episode of something. I want to say it was Spider-Man, but I remember him being in, was it like Marvel Ultimate Alliance? I think he was in.
What, the game? Like, he's been in a ton of video games.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Like I said, anything Moon Knight's good for me, so...
If we get, like even if we get, like, more of the Vengeance of Moon Knight style run, I'll be okay. But that Mark Spector run, it'll be good. It'll be good. So, all right. Other than that, the only thing we really got to talk about is... So, as a company, we are moving to a different direction with our point of sale system for you guys who shop in the stores. If you don't shop in the store, you can turn it off now. We're just going to give you a little bit of a pitch. for those of you who do shop in the store, two of our stores are already on this. Our Pittsburgh Mills and Elwood store are on it's a program called Comic Hub. It's kind of sweet. You can create your login, your profile. You can match yourself up to your local New Dimension comic store. You can order books each week. You can add stuff to your subscription. There's going to be more functionality coming sooner. But as things get ordered and confirmed, you'll get notifications. If things don't get confirmed, you'll get a notification that says it wasn't. All kinds of cool stuff. The other four stores are right now testing it and training on it. So come like mid-October, you'll be able to sync to every single store if you want, or whichever one's your local one. The other cool benefits about this and doing so are it will, every week when our new books come in, we'll let you know exactly what they are, and you'll see a picture, you'll see a description, you'll see price points, everything. It'll be all right there for you. It makes ordering stuff pretty sweet. For you speculators out there, we will be limiting things to one for ordering. And yes, we can deny any order that we want.
So much for that loophole. Nice try, though.
Right? And it, even when a special order comes in, like if you're just getting a back-ordered trade paperback or something... we can actually get that for you, and it'll let you know exactly when it comes in. Some of the other benefits are we'll actually, for the first time ever, be able to see accurate stock in each other's stores. So if you happen to be in Butler and you want to try to find a book, and we can actually type it in, look for it, see that it's in Ohio and Cranberry and Waterfront, and get one transferred for you right there, like guaranteed transfer. So it's not a guess, and we're going to get back to you. It's, we found this right now. We're going to get it to you as soon as we can.
Now, this does not mean that we're going to have a full inventory of back issues on there.
Oh, right. Only certain things will be live on there as of the moment. Most of it will be new wall books, within the last 6 months. And most of our graphic novels will be on there. And most of the toys, pop vinyls, and games, like gaming things, like board games, boxes, you know, role play stuff, minis. We're going to be working through the fourth and first quarter of next year to make sure all of that stock is accurate for you guys to be able to shop, make it easier for you, make it easier for us, and be able to help find you your stuff faster. So hopefully you'll join us in doing that. And if we have any sales or anything, we'll send you a direct email right to there. It's kind of sweet.
I think the app sounds really neat, but as a person that works for you, I think it also sounds like a nightmare on the other end of the cash register.
It's not that bad.
But we'll see. We'll see what goes on there, because I'm not going to have a choice, so definitely going to have to play around with that.
Truth. But it's a lot of fun, actually. I just showed Bo some stuff today, some of the basics, and you know he thought it was all right. So
it's got its note. It's potentially pretty cool for everybody. So
on both sides, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, a little bit more optimistic about this then.
I'm just worried about the internet, so I told you.
Oh, yeah.
As long as I can get faster than 1 megabyte download.
Ohio's internet is like probably, for anyone to remember, is dial-up speeds, like 33.6 baud modems.
That's it.
It's like two of those sitting side by side. That's pretty much what they get here. It kind of blows.
It's just getting everybody's complex pull list, because we got some complex different people that want different stuff, and it's going to take a little bit of time, so bear with us.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you guys have any questions about that, stop in your local NDC and ask them. You will not be able to pair up to those other four stores until sometime after New York Comic Con, which is the first weekend of October. All the other stores will be going live during the month of October, so check that out. But if you shop by the Mills or Elwood, you can pair up to them now and sync to them. And order some stuff. It's gonna be good times. But that's about all I got. Anybody else? Anything?
I don't really have anything else to add. You guys?
Kind of
no.
Kind of a short one this week.
I did hear about. I went because I was late. I did want to see. Heard some good things about the Joker movie.
Hoping
that is actually true. That it is so good. So.
I mean, I was gonna see it either way because I like Joaquin Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And I thought that the concept...
Is that how we pronounce his name now? It's not Joaquin anymore, it's Joaquin.
I'm just going with hair.
I think it depends on where you're from.
I've heard
Joaquin is also...
Everybody on YouTube that talks about this movie lately, like in the last week since that trailer came out, pronounces his name differently, and I just watched that for the entertainment value of someone who doesn't pronounce that name.
I think it's going to be good. It supposedly has nothing to do with the comics, but then everybody said it was so great, so I'm curious to see being...
So
being the DC
it,
fan, this has me excited.
I'm going into it as a...
Like watching an independent film that he did? Or
no, as a... I understand that there are multiple different kinds of Jokers in the DC universe.
Yes.
So if this plays anywhere near any of them, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Because that's how I went in with... And I know he's an excellent actor. Like when Heath Ledger was announced... Yes. When they did Dark Knight, I was like, holy crap, he's going to be a great Joker. We're not going to get, you know, Jack Nicholson, and we're not going to get Cesar Romero, but we're going to get this other kind of Joker. That's how I'm going into this, going, holy crap, we're going to have this whole other cool kind of Joker that's going to be just as creepy, if not more creepy. And I want to see how it goes, because like I said, there's a Joker out there for everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Good potential. I'm just waiting to see, because whenever you get the critics talking about it,
I heard it got an 8-minute standing ovation.
But then, like, it just keeps going on. If everybody that's seen it has liked it, so
yeah.
Like I said, whenever critics say something good, that typically tells you to stay away from the theater. So.
Does anybody really trust movie critics anymore?
No.
I mean, like, over the last year,
does anyone trust any kind of critic anymore?
There's like movie and entertainment critics. The disconnect is huge now between them and like. Actual fans, and you really don't have to go any further than Rotten Tomatoes to see that.
Yeah, but Rotten Tomatoes can also be they can game the system on that.
They do. They
and
definitely
they
do
game
do.
The system. So,
but yeah, like
you said, Dave Chappelle's new stand-up. Watch it, by the way. That was a plug for Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, it was good.
It was
I thought
hilarious,
it was
and they if were you, dogging that. So
the critics are dogging it, but fans gave it a 99% approval
so
rating.
Good,
so
man. Dave's back.
Right, like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, who? I never actually listened to critics anyway. I always went, I'm going to just go and make my own opinions anyway, because everybody's different.
Right.
I know everybody has different opinions. I know everybody likes different stuff. So if I go into a movie and I don't like it, I'll tell you why I don't like it. But I will also say, but go see it, because, you know, you may enjoy it. Like, I am not a big DC Universe fan, but I know Bo is. So I'm going to keep telling him, go check out the Marvel movies because I enjoy them. But I'm not going to tell him to not go see them because I know he doesn't like them.
If it just, I don't like Captain Marvel or Captain America. I just don't associate with him. I just always thought the stories were boring.
As far as the DC movie universe, I feel like they've given up on the whole, like, trying to put things together like Marvel did, and they're more doing, like, solo things. And that's probably good because that works out for them a little bit better. Like, yeah, they used the same Aquaman that they used in the Justice League movie for the Aquaman.
And Wonder Woman.
Right.
Right.
But we'll just forget that the Justice League movie happened and go from there.
They need to get some hits. Like, if Robert Pattinson turns out to be a good Batman, you get some characters established like Marvel did, and then you bring them together. They tried to jump all at once too fast to me.
They tried to do it in reverse order. Start them out together, and then... Yeah.
Well, what they did was they took a Superman trilogy that they originally had planned out, and they inflated it really, really heavily.
Yeah.
Because really, those three movies are a Superman trilogy. They're not meant... They were never meant to be Batman-focused movie or Justice League-focused movie.
But this is a perfect time to pounce for DC. I mean, to me, Marvel is like on a steady decline now with the movie phase. Like, they've reached their pinnacle, and they're only going downhill now because of some of the stuff they're bringing out, honestly. Now, DC can fill that void if they would...
Yeah, they gotta pick up their game, though.
Yeah, they do.
But, I mean, like, if Joker is a hit, that'll be even more proof for them that they can just do standalone movies and not worry about doing this, like, big shared universe thing or whatever.
It needs to share eventually, though.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Yeah. But they can't take forever to put out movies in between, though, either, because it's been... What, 3 years since we've had a Wonder Woman movie, and the next one's next year.
Yeah.
And then we had Aquaman and Shazam in the last year and a half. So now we're going to have a Joker movie. Then next year is, what, just Wonder Woman? And then the year after that is Birds of Prey. Mm-hmm. And then the year after that is something else. And it's just like...
Especially with, like, Shazam, you can't take too long making movies, or the people will age out of the parts. Like, Billy will grow up, and he'll be playing Captain Marvel then instead of playing Billy.
Or they'll just do the storyline where he just stays, and it becomes the new Wizard Shazam.
Right.
And he just sits there on the rock the whole time. But then the whole family ages out.
Right. Everybody, so, I don't know. You gotta... pick up the pace, have them things in production.
Or they just skip straight to Kingdom Come.
slower seems better for me, because they've slowed down with DC a little bit and kind of pumped the brakes, and now we're getting a little bit more quality movies with Shazam, with Aquaman.
Well, I think they're also...
Potentially Joker.
I just think they're also... They're focusing more on the character, so it's easier to do it. But with Marvel, they had a plan... After Iron Man 1 hit and it made it well, they planned a lot of stuff out. So with DC, they kind of went, all right, we're going to try this thing. And then they went, oh, that's not working. Now we got to go back to the beginning and see how this works. Okay, that one worked. So give it some time. Another one, that one worked. Give it some time. That one worked. And they're seeing that the singles are working. So now they might be able to pick it up a little faster. But we're not going to get Suicide Squad 2 until after... I think that's the one that's in 2 years. And then we'll get Guardians 3 because James Gunn's doing that too. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's so much stuff. And I'm just like, you guys need to really get on your stuff. So.
Oh, Venom's coming along. That's the only Marvel movie. It doesn't even do anything with Disney and the Marvel Universe. They did sign Woody Harrelson. He's definitely going to be Carnage, Cletus Cassidy. And that's, like, super exciting to me.
So, I don't know. It can't be any worse than the Venom movie was.
You did not like that?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
I went in with, like, zero expectations, and I was fine with it.
I mean, it was better than I thought it was going to be, but I wasn't like, oh my god, this is great. I was like, it was okay. I mean, I enjoyed it as much as I liked the Sam Raimi movies.
It was better than Venom's parts in Spider-Man.
Yes. Yeah. I will give you that. Yeah. So I mostly liked it because She-Venom made an appearance.
Right. Now though they can use Spider-Man for it. Not yet. That was the main thing that was missing for the Venom movie for me anyway.
Yeah, me too.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. But I've never been a big Spider-Man guy, so like, you know, it's weird. But we'll see. I didn't hate it. I just didn't love it. I thought it was okay.
I think Woody Harrelson's like the prime time selection for Cletus Cassidy.
I think he's way too old.
I think he's a bit old. Yeah.
You can make him look a little younger, but he's crazy as shit. He'll go out there and get an Oscar.
I want him to be like, what was in that movie? Natural Born Killers, Woody Harrelson. That's the one I want to have. But I just think that he's, in general, he looks too old to be the character. Like,
I thought he looked good. They had him in that little bonus scene at the end there.
With his Ronald McDonald wig on. Yeah, that was crazy.
I don't know. I look forward to that just because I like his character so well. So, see how it goes.
It is what it is.
I don't like the normal superhero movies, apparently. I'm just like the off-the-wall. Don't like anything hardly Marvel does, except Thor stuff. I like Thor.
All about that Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie.
That was good, man. I used to watch that when I was a kid.
It was so good because it was so bad. It was awesome.
I just never understood why he was naked in a sewer all the time.
Like, right?
What's going on with that? Why are you doing that?
Are you bathing down there? Like, what's going on? Yeah, I never quite got that either. All right, cool. Well, thanks for listening. I am John.
I'm TJ.
I'm Bo.
And this was the Toddcast. Catch you later.